As you walk through the valley of the shadow of hell, you will see through the fog a bend in reality. A veil that is beyond your own comprehension. It's the other side. Beyond the void.
What's up, guys, and welcome back to Beyond the Void
Horror Podcast.
That's right. It's episode 364 of Beyond the Void Horror Podcast. We've been doing this for many, many years as an audio podcast. But today, my friends, is the first episode ever that is going to be put on YouTube as well.
And that's why we got dressed up.
Yes. As you can see, we're huge fans of the ICP. No, it's not that at all, actually. We're actually dressed up like the Crow, the different versions of the Crow.
I tried.
I'm probably the more Edward Furlong looking one. Christina's trying to be the fucking...
The new one.
What's his name?
Oh, Skarsgård.
Skarsgård.
Yeah, I'm trying to be the Skarsgård Crow.
We're dead ringers, guys. That's what we should call this episode, like the Crow dead ringers. But we're actually going to be doing a review of the movie The Crow from 1994 with Brendan Lee, who devastatingly lost his life in the film set of that. So we'll be talking about a lot of that stuff. We're also, I kind of want to talk about like the trailer real quick.
Oh, the new trailer?
Yeah, like I'm kind of curious to see what you thought of it, like how you feel. Well, okay, let's preface it by how you feel about The Crow. Or should we just go into the trailer? What do you think?
Maybe we should just go into the trailer.
Okay, well, what do you think of the trailer?
We're going to be talking about The Crow.
Well, my thing is that I come from a lot of industrial and goth, and I listen to a lot of that music. That was my culture. I also listen to hardcore metal and all kinds of other stuff, too, but I would say that if there was a genre, it would be hard, like goth industrial.
Right.
That I've probably, like, you know, I wrote music for industrial and shit like that, and both of those kind of cross streams pretty much in the scene anyway. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I don't know. Christina has a very similar experience in that as well. You know, we're old as fuck, but right. What did you think of the trailer, the new trailer?
It looked okay. It looked like a movie.
Well, a lot of people were saying it looked like John Wick.
Just because it had action in it, and that's how films are made.
Well, that's now? The funny thing is, because if you think back to when The Crow was made.
In the 90s.
That was like one of the first like new kind of darker action films with like, you know, alternative sort of, you know, leanings, I guess you would say. And it was like before The Matrix, before Blade and all that like gothy sort of feeling stuff, right? Mm-hmm. So a lot of people who were in the alternative scene really latched onto it, whether you were goth or, a grungster.
It was, because just the style of the movie.
Very so Gen good. X movie, by the way. Mm-hmm. It's obviously, I think the trailer looks pretty good, though. Like, it does have a different aesthetic to it. Obviously, this movie doesn't even have the same fucking set designer as the original Crow, you know? So they're doing some different things.
And the story looks different, too.
Well,
and I heard it's more leaning towards the graphic novel.
100%. And you see that in the trailer, too, when he's like leaning, that guy's like sucking her soul out of her head or whatever.
Mm-hmm. And there's no Sarah. I didn't see a Sarah.
That was one thing that we really liked, too, is that not because of Sarah. Yeah, fuck Sarah. No, I'm just kidding. We didn't see in the first movie, like they don't really show much about his girlfriend.
Right.
And so you really have no connection to her and her life at all, really. Mm-hmm. You just kind of feel it through his perspective.
Yeah, she's not really in the movie at all. Right. We'll talk about that later, though.
But yeah, but that's part of, you know, like the first movie, very much so, like you were supposed to feel it through him and all this other shit.
Right.
But ultimately, this one, the trailer shows you a lot of before.
The relationship.
Yeah, whereas the first movie is like, wham, right into the beginning of the movie.
Yeah, and they die.
Well, spoiler alert, I guess. Well. Anyway.
Is it really spoiling?
I don't know. Fuck. Anyway, so yeah, I thought that was kind of cool. I like the violence in it. It's pretty good.
Oh, in the trailer?
Yeah, like it actually looks pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Decent.
There's some CGI in there, I could tell. You know, very much whatever. Blood, you know.
Yeah.
But they definitely are trying to push that hard R, you know, mm-hmm. which I appreciate. I really do.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a good direction to go. Honestly, I don't have any like serious like gatekeeping over the whole situation.
You're
at
not
all.
A middle-aged person getting mad because they're remaking a movie from your childhood.
I don't even like. I used to prowl the like city tops and like a
with that makeup on.
Yeah, with the makeup on and like a a jacket.
ICP forever.
Yeah, no. But no, I never did any of that. I was like raised in the suburbs and shit, but I did party in the city a lot. So, but yeah, no, I don't know. I just don't have any kind of like, you know, I don't care really. Like, to be honest, like, we have some thoughts about the movie that may or may not reflect yours, and everybody's going to have a different opinion about this movie.
Exactly.
I think a lot more people would have different opinions if they rewatch this movie
mm-hmm.
today rather than, you know, when the memory of what they remember it as.
As a child.
Right. A lot has changed, folks. Let me just put it to you that way. But anyway, on with the show. We're going to be doing a new format here. We're going to be doing one movie a week on the podcast and simultaneously putting it up on the YouTube. We're probably not going to dress as Edward Furlong in our video next time. I feel so stupid. I never dress up.
I do too. I'm pretty disappointed in my makeup skills.
Hey guys, it's Fat Crow. Fat Crow here, bringing you Beyond the Void.
Maybe you should do more of your reviews in makeup.
No. Just do the whole series, you know. But anyway, we're going to do one movie each week. So to keep the work down to what it was before or near as possible so that I can put this up on the YouTube as well, because it's going to be double editing in a way. Like, I'm going to do the audio editing, so there's going to be a larger gaps in the audio that we do each week, by the way, guys. So it may sound a little different, too. Just a heads up, mm-hmm. okay? We're trying new things here. We're trying to, like, make it so it's different. We're going to learn as we go as to what looks the best on the show, and I'll add some stuff to the video. You'll see.
It'll be fun.
It will be fun.
And just like you've been doing good at your reviews lately, the intros. Well,
yeah, I've been having a new energy about them lately, and I've been doing like skits and things in the beginning.
You just did a really cool intro for The Church. You watched The Church?
Yes.
It was pretty funny.
From 1989. If you guys haven't seen that yet, if you haven't seen any of my YouTube videos, you should really go watch them. You're going to want to see how stupid we look, you know. Either I'm ready to fucking get on the back of a Huffy in Pet Cemetery or ride on the back of fucking, I'm probably more of the later stage, Edward Furlong. No offense. I actually really like Edward Furlong, by the way, for the record.
Oh, okay.
You know, everybody always gives that guy such a hard time, and I don't know why. Why does he deserve? Because he got big?
Old. He got old.
Yeah, I got big too, motherfucker. Fuck you guys. you think I look like this forever? You know how I got this smile, you motherfuckers? Anyway. What else we got going on, Christina?
Well, someone's birthday's coming up next month.
That's right.
This guy right here.
This fella right, this jokester right here.
What do you want to do for your birthday?
I have no idea.
It's on a Sunday.
Didn't we plan something? Like, we planned something. Like, you got me some movies that you're ordering and we're waiting on.
And
yeah, we ordered, I asked her if I could get The Abyss and Aliens, and then neither of those movies were available. Even the pre-orders, which are well past their date. So, like, we did get a hand on Aliens, so she got that for me. And When Evil Lurks, I bought for myself. Or are you buying it?
I bought it.
Okay.
Yeah, I bought it.
So, I don't know. I may have to get Abyss myself or whatever.
Yeah, you will. if you'll ever be able to find it.
Yeah, no, that's
because you don't want to pay eBay prices. Oh, my God.
No. Hell no.
It's ridiculous.
I'll just pirate it. No, I'm just kidding. There you go. Fuck you, James Cameron. A lot of people are talking about that they did AI enhancing on that instead of actual, like, the way that they...
Oh, in the Abyss?
Yeah, for the upgrade.
Oh.
Because they can't... Huh. They have to, like... They take it and they film it. They run it through in 4K to capture it. But then they have to go in and kind of, like, edit it and fix it and, like, tone it and colorize it and everything. It's like a whole process. Mm-hmm. But some people are saying that they're using AI.
Oh, well.
So. But, yeah, as far as my birthday goes, it's the first week of April, by the way, guys.
April 7th.
I might be doing a giveaway, actually. So, MVD Entertainment has actually offered to help us out. I don't want to disclose that just yet until I talk to them to make sure I know all the details on it. But just know that if you haven't been following our emailer, which is in the VIP Club section of our website and in the notes, you can find VIP Club on the link tree and all that other stuff. It's basically you're going to want to sign up for that immediately. But yeah, we're going to ask you to do a couple of things. Just to tag us in it, to spread the word about the thing. And then if you get picked, we'll basically hit you up and send you out some movies.
So what else do you want to do for your birthday?
I want to eat some food, some decent food. I would like to get some scallops.
You don't want, like, bean and cheese burritos?
No. No, I would like to get some scallops.
You want some scallops? Okay, yeah. We'll get you some scallops.
Yeah, I like some scallops, please.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But, yeah. So... What else do we got, Christina? What else is there to talk about?
Well, I'm just finishing up Yellow Jackets.
Oh, that's right.
I love that show. And then we started watching Shogun.
Right. Very cool. God. Holy shit. Episode 4, guys. Woo!
It's funny because just the first episode.
Don't talk about what it is.
I know.
Okay.
No, so the first episode, I was like, oh my God, this is like, there's too much going on. There's too many characters. And then somebody got decapitated, and then I was like, okay, I'm in.
Yeah. Basically, it's a pretty badass show. Like, it's really cool.
Yeah, it's really good. It's a good story, too.
I'm actually really impressed with it. Like, it seems historically accurate for the most part. And, you know, obviously the characters aren't trash. Mm-hmm. You know, they're actually really cool. Mm-hmm. Like, even the bad guys, which is sad because it's like I'm, like, liking the guy that, like, murdered somebody in, like, a horrific way in the first episode. And I'm like, wait, I shouldn't like that guy, right? But he was cool. He's like, you know, he's like, oh, I like when they scream, you know, like. Mm-hmm. Anyway, but I think it might be that time.
Oh, God. What time is it?
Horror Shots! All right, guys. So that's the first. We don't know how this is working. You know, we're just kind of running with it and hoping that you guys enjoy it, because from audio to video is like a whole new world for me. Yeah, there's sometimes a lot of editing because Christina will be like, no. No,
you can't say that.
No, you can't say that. I'm like, you're just going to have to roll with it, and I'll have to bleep it out or something because I don't want to have to edit that much. yeah, so we decided to come up with a shot that is based around, if you're not familiar with this, horror shots is essentially us coming up with a shot that's themed around the movies, or movie in this particular case, that we watched today. So The Crow is Eric Draven, the character. Played by Brendan Lee, who in the movie, they didn't use actual crows in the movie. They used ravens.
Who would know the difference?
But most people didn't. But I thought it'd be interesting to make a spiked draven. So a spiked draven, one word.
Spike draven.
It's Eric Draven. Spike Draven. It's spike because there's alcohol.
Oh.
And then Draven, Raven.
Double lodge draw. Spiked
with the Raven on the end. You get it? Ah! Nothing too special. We wanted to keep it kind of simple. Our first one with you guys live here. I don't even know if there's like laws against it on YouTube or not, but yeah, here we go. I see fucking Bert Kreischer and all them fuckers drinking all the time. So it's very simple. All you do is just put some Jägermeister in a shot, get some ginger ale, you shoot it.
Cheers.
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 To Brendan Lee. And you chase it. And you do it again.
Do people still drink Jaeger?
Yes.
Why?
I think it's because of how you feel when you take it.
Oh.
You know how everything has a little bit of a different feel when you drink, right?
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Like wine gets you kind of like in a different way. I
just drank too much of it as a youngster.
Well,
I'm just like, I don't know.
Victims, aren't we all? Yeah.
Okay.
I do not like black licorice, but for some reason, I've always enjoyed alcohol that has licorice in it, which is Jägermeister. And what's the other one? Sambuca?
Oh, I don't, is that what it is?
The Book. Yeah.
Oh, me and you and...
Patrick.
Yeah.
Patrick, who used to be a guest or guest, used to be a host on this show with me until Christina came along. He and I used to do Sambuca together every show.
Every single show you guys did.
And it would get us giddy. There's something about it that's kind of like almost like the Green Fairy, like the, what is it called? Why can't I think? What's the Green Fairy called?
I don't know.
The drink that you drink, it's green that I used to have.
Absinthe.
Absinthe, yes. It's called Green Fairy.
I don't know.
We almost called this shot a fairy goth mother as well, but... You know, you can call it whatever you like, I guess. But all you got to do, if you like this shot and you want to try it, all you have to do is go to longlivethevoid.com and check out our hashtag horror shot section now. That's it for horror shots. All right, guys. So now we're going to jump into the dark, dark, grunge-filled, metal industrial, kind of goth world of The Crow from 1994. And we're gonna go ahead and do that right now. Ka-ka! All right, guys, so we're back. We're gonna get into The Crow finally. First of all, before we get into this, Christina, tell me the first time that you saw Crow or what your feelings were on it. We got to talk about this because I think it's going to help paint the picture, guys.
I saw it in the theater.
You saw it in the theater?
I totally 100% saw it in the theater with my friends.
I don't know when I saw it. Really? I don't remember. Yeah, it wasn't that memorable.
Were you a teenager? It was
94. I graduated in 95, so that's showing my age.
It was a big deal.
It was a big deal.
To me.
To a lot of people.
I think I was a freshman in high school when this came out.
I was with my like long-term relationship girlfriend at the time, so I think.
Oh, okay.
I don't know.
But this movie... How did it affect you?
Yeah. That's what I'm getting at.
It was the soundtrack.
Right.
It was that soundtrack.
This was back during a time when we actually had soundtracks on movies.
Yeah, but this was a good soundtrack, Alex. This was like the start. This was like the start of good soundtrack.
Oh, like it really Spawn was. And
Yeah.
What was it? Judgment Night and
Blade was a good soundtrack. Blade,
yeah.
Hackers was a good soundtrack.
That's true, yeah. I wouldn't say every song on this album is that good.
Well, but, no.
Because like, I can't stand
the last
it
song.
Can't rain all
you
the
sing.
Time.
Don't sing. Don't sing. Don't sing. Don't sing it.
All right, whatever.
It's the worst. Well, not every album is going to have like great songs, but it still
Tears
was a good soundtrack.
Tears won't fall for
stop. Please stop.
All right. Anyway, I don't really remember it that much. I just remember it being a big craze and a lot of people really liked
everybody
it.
Everybody was a crow for Halloween.
Right. Everybody wanted to be Brendan Lee, for
sure. Every single goth kid I hung out with did his eye makeup like this on a daily basis. It was a big deal.
Like I said, guys, it was an alternative world, you know, at the time anyway. So, like, people really rotated towards that. You know what I mean? Like, right. It was grunge was, like, kind of the outsider. Because we were called Gen X back then, during Gen X, you know what I mean? It wasn't right. Like, it was just like this big thing, like, we're out of control, and we don't let the government tell us what to do, and, you know, we don't trust anybody, we're too smart for you. That was the attitude, right?
Right. Like, extreme!
Yeah, what was it, Surge?
Yes, Surge
and Turtle Apple Pies. You remember the Turtle Apple Pies?
No.
Oh my God, Ninja Turtles... They had the movies come out around, what was it, 92? Was it 92 and 81? 89 and 92?
Yeah. Oh, the
Ninja Turtle movies.
The live action Ninja Turtles, yeah.
Yeah, it had to be later because they carried on these Ninja Turtle pies. They were like the fruit, like vanilla pudding pies, but with ooze inside. So they made it green, and then they made the hard shell, like the back of the turtles.
I have no idea what you're
talking
about.
I used to get those in a Surge in the 90s all the time. It was like the perfect, like, pot food.
Oh.
You know, when you're like, you've got the munchies and you're just like stopping in at 7-Eleven or whatever, we would grab that and a Surge and then be on our way, you know?
Mine was Jolt. We used to drink the Jolt.
Well, yeah, Jolt
and
was
Orbitz.
Before.
An Orbitz.
Oh, God. That was pre, what do they call those? Bubble things? The teas?
The bobas?
The boba.
Yeah.
Anyway.
We watched a movie this week.
Yeah.
It was called The Crow. It was released May 13th, 1994.
And by the way, you can watch this on Paramount Plus or rent it on Prime Video. Mm-hmm. So,
but it's about a man. He was brutally murdered. He comes back to life as an undead avenger of his friends and his fiance's murder. Avenger of his and his fiance. Sorry, I said that wrong. His and his fiance.
He comes back as a mime.
The taglines are Alex's favorite.
You can't read all the time.
Okay, thank you. Also, in a world without justice.
In a world. Wait, hold on.
In a world without justice, one mime was chosen to protect the innocent.
Did you say mime?
Darker than the bat.
Yeah.
That was great.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Yeah, so this is obviously after the darker tone of Batman with
Michael Keaton.
Michael Keaton, yeah.
Tim Burton's Batman.
Correct. Oh. Sorry, I had to cut in and do that just because it just ruined.
In a world.
I know you had to.
It just instantly made me think of it, you know? So this is directed by Alex Proyas, who did Dark City, iRobot, Knowing, Gods of Egypt. Started doing, you know, music videos for like NXS, Rick Springfield, Sting, Fleetwood Mac. There was so many.
Mm-hmm.
I love, personally, I think a lot of music video directors have made really good, like, at least aesthetically good films.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Because they have an eye for it. They like, because there's a lot of quick, rapid interest that you have to keep in the film. And I think that's why these movies are very interesting to people.
Right.
But we don't really do music videos anymore. So it's not like a scene anymore.
Well, now it's YouTubers.
Right. But I like most of his films.
Right.
Like, despite Gods of Egypt, which was we got writers James O'Barr, who was the original writer of the comic book of The Crow. We have David J. Schau and John Shirley. James Barr, obviously, he did the novel that was released in 1989, and it was originally created by O'Barr as a means of dealing with the death of his fiance at the hands of a drunk driver. So
crazy.
Yeah, apparently he had been playing a lot of Joy Division and The Cure as well when he was writing this as the inspiration for this. So
right.
Christina came up with this information, by the way. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I'm taking I don't want to take credit for it.
You don't need to. It's fine.
But he also played a robber in this movie and also did graphic novels Gothic, Sundown, and a bunch of other stuff. I remember Sundown.
Right.
Wasn't that the vampires with like...
I think so.
It was like vampires with like Western kind of appeal.
Yeah. Yeah, that was him.
Like old cowboy style, right?
I think so.
I can't remember.
It's been so long.
It's been a while. So we also have David Schild, who was the writer of Texas Chainsaw Massacre, The Beginning, Critters 3, The Hunger TV series from 97. And he was a writer on the newer Creepshow on Shudder. And it's supposed to have a story coming out in the new Splatterpunk, which is an action horror anthology. I'm down. Holy fuck, is that really happening?
Yeah, that's really happening. I pulled it up. It's on IMDb.
I think I remember seeing that because I used to read, if you guys remember this, there were two books that came out and they were called the Splatterpunk novels. And you had Poppy Zebright, Clive Barker, and like all the fucking like darkest fucking horror writers that you could come up with that wrote some really profane and foul shit. When we say splatterpunk, we mean like that gore comes first before the story. And then the story is usually some really fucked up thing. Actually, I think one of Clive Barker's The Midnight Meat Train was in one of those splatterpunk novels.
Oh.
So anyway, that was a short story. But yeah, some of them were in his other and their other books and things like that. But if they got a TV show, I'm all about it. So we also have John Shirley was a writer on it. He did the animated Spawn show from the 90s. God, there's so much 90s in this fucking movie. Poltergeist, The Legacy from 1996. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, the animated show from 2014. Obviously, Brendan Lee played Eric Draven, who passed away during the production of this film. He got shot in the chest by a fragment of a bullet. Well, a fragment of a shell casing of some sort that got lodged into his abdomen. But he's the son of Bruce Lee. Bruce Lee died at the age of 32 from an allergic reaction, and Brendan Lee died at the age of 28. There's a lot of conspiracies about that because, like, they died so young in the, like, like heat of their career.
It's like a curse.
Right. That's what a lot of people think. That's why this new movie, they were like, what's going to happen on this one? Just like they did with Poltergeist or anything else. But Brandon was also in Rapid Fire, Showdown in Little Tokyo, and Laser Mission. He even did some the New Legend of Kung, the Kung Fu, the New Legend show with David Carradine and everything in there. We got Rochelle Davis, who plays Sarah the Kid. She was a child actress and now a comedian and has a cameo in the new one, I guess.
No. She's on Cameo, the site.
Oh, she's on Cameo.
Yeah, so if you want her to do a shout out, she's on there.
Oh, okay. Yeah, she did a couple of movies, like some really independent films. But yeah, I guess she's just
doing she was young.
Comedy now. Yeah. She's active on Instagram, too, so if you want to follow her. We got Ernie Hudson, who plays Officer Albrecht, who is in Winston in the Ghostbusters, obviously. And he's also the new Quantum Leap reboot show and Twin Peaks out on March 22nd, by the way.
The new Ghostbusters is out March 22nd.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah, we're going to go see it.
Yeah, well, I want to see Immaculate, too, so let's not write that off.
And the devil... and the devil... What's the fucking movie called? Let the Devil In comes out this weekend, too.
Okay. Well, we'll talk about that later. We only got about 20 more minutes to talk about this movie, and there's a lot to talk about. Okay. So we also have Michael Wincott, who plays Top Dollar, the main villain in this movie. He played Antlers and... Nope. He was the camera guy. And he was also in Strange Days. I remember that. Yeah. Basquiat, Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves, and The Doors, of course, which Brendan Lee loved, by the way. He loved The Doors, and he had a really dark, gothic sense of humor and vibe about him, by the way.
Oh.
We also have Bai Ling, who is the girl in the movie, Micah, who is the villain's, like, sister?
Partner, sister?
Sister fucker. Yeah, that's interesting. But she was in Crank, High Voltage, Exorcism at 60,000 Feet. She's done a lot of big movies, by the way. Like, tons of big movies. We also have Tony Todd, obviously, who plays Grange. He was the sniper guy in the movie. He was obviously Candyman. And he's got over 250 credits and 20 projects in production right now. So the man's making good money. And hell yeah, Tony Todd, you deserve it. But yeah, we got a budget of $23 million for this film. That's pretty good for 1994.
Oh yeah.
That's a pretty big budget.
Very.
And I'm sure that it got extended out further because of the CGI and everything that they had to incorporate in this movie. But what did you think, Christina? So we're rewatching this movie. When was the last time you saw it?
I can't even remember. It's been at least a decade since I've seen this.
Okay.
Since I've like sat down and actually watched it.
Yeah.
But no, this is it's a really aesthetically pleasing movie.
Sure.
With an amazing soundtrack, like I was saying before. And then the performances by Brandon Lee and Ernie Hudson.
Ernie Hudson is badass in this.
They're good. But I feel like it didn't age well. The movie didn't really age well because of the cringy dialogue. And
it feels like a Batman movie in a lot of ways, too.
I wrote that down, too. Yeah, it really feels like they were trying to do the Batman Returns.
Right.
But, you know, it was more darker, obviously, because there's not really a good guy in
right.
this
and they use guns.
Situation. Yeah, well, yeah, that too, obviously. And I find it odd that Interview with the Vampire came out this year as well. And it's funny because the main bad guy in this movie reminded me a lot of Armand.
Oh.
From Interview, like, a lot. Like, his mannerisms, his hair.
Gotcha.
And the shit he said, but I guess this was just, like, the more darker version. And then I don't know why that bothered me. That character just bothered me for some reason besides him fucking his sister, allegedly.
I mean, they make it pretty clear in the very beginning. And God. Oh,
right.
The tryhardness of that fucking villain in the very beginning. Where does he? He's on looking at a snow globe in the very beginning of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, my dad gave me this. And then I'm going to carve out this girl's eyes. I was like, Jesus. And then he goes to banging his sister. All right.
I mean, I can understand why people are upset about remakes because people don't like remakes and they do a horrible job at the remakes. But,
give it a watch again.
But I feel like the story really, I feel like I would like to see the story be told in a different light.
Okay.
So I am excited for the remake.
That might breathe some new life into it, maybe?
Yes. And since I read it's supposed to be closer to the comic book, I think that'd be good too. And then the people who say that it's disrespectful to Brandon Lee. No, it's a in my opinion, it's disrespectful that they released this movie.
Directly after his death.
Like, directly after his death. They didn't shelve it for a little bit. No, they immediately digitized him in the movie. Like, that.
They're like, all right, guys, set up the screen projector right behind the grave, and let's put it up on the screen.
Let's summon his spirit to act in the movie. Sorry, that's horrible. I'm sorry. That's horrible. But you know what I mean? Because it's not disrespectful.
It feels a little disrespectful, yeah. I know.
And the story, and then why the guy wrote the story and all that. I want to see a different version of the story. Fuck y'all. You should have been mad about these fucking sequels. Okay? You want to be mad about something.
It's true.
Mad about the sequels. But I understand, though, because this crow is aesthetically pleasing. And it is completely different.
The original, you're saying?
The original Crow is very...
It's a memory.
It's a beautiful film, too. It's filmed great.
Wow. But some of the CGI remake, ain't all that great, but yeah.
Yeah, well, yes, it didn't age well. But I could see why people would get mad because it's not the same. And they were saying that the new one looks like the Joker, which, I mean, he does, but... That's what the kids look like these days, right? Like, that's the style.
Yeah, the kids are all right.
And they need to appeal to that generation.
I don't know, because we belong to the goth industrial club, and we still dress like freaks, you know, when we go out to the club. So we have our friends, and they don't dress anymore. Like that.
No.
So I don't know. Does it really make sense?
I don't know. I don't understand what the big fuss is about. But
it's
you
just a different take, guys. Just like Suspiria was, it's a different take. And maybe it'll be just as good or... somewhere underneath the original to you, and then we can be happy on both sides of the fence for a change. You know?
Whatever.
So what do you give it a score of, Christina?
I'm going to give it a 6 out of 10, which I think is a little bit high, but it's just... What do you mean, woof?
They're like, I'm going to Brandon Lee you.
No, I mean.
Sorry.
You mean Alec Baldwin me?
Oh, God. Yeah, now we got a second one,
I guess.
That's
horrible.
Yeah. We can probably go back further if you really want, but anyway, go.
Anyway, yeah, I give it a 6 out of 10 just because I do have an attachment to it because, you know.
I like how you're like, it's a 6. That's really high.
No, I said, it is too high.
Okay, all right.
It's classic. So, but what do you think?
I mean, rewatching this again, I was cutting some jokes into the fucking movie. I gotta admit. Lot. It was really heavy-handed in the goth. And believe me, guys, like I said, I have plenty of friends who I love to death. My little dark batlings, you know, they're fucking amazing. I, you know, we've had some of the best times of my life in scenes of these people, you know what I mean? Like, we've had a really good time, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I have nothing against that, but this does feel a little try hard when you rewatch it. Like, I was not expecting it to be as cringy as it was. Like,
even
and I hate
you?
To be, yeah. It, I mean, I'm pretty forgiving of movies.
Yeah,
and
you are.
It's just, it's not that I hated it or anything like that. I just right. wasn't expecting it to be a higher tier than I remembered, I guess.
Yeah, and it wasn't.
Yeah, it just...
it was not at all.
It is definitely heavy. There's a scene where he literally, like...
Just say it.
He leans against the pole and he's like, goth. And like, oh my goth. It's too much, man. A lot of the goth friends we have are pretty fucking happy people, you know what I mean?
Right.
So it's a little weird to see, you know, it's not that it's goth, I get it, you know. Mm-hmm. It's grunge and rock and my thrill kill called and all that other stuff. But yeah, I don't know. I really do appreciate Ernie Hudson's performance in it. I thought he did a really good job for the role. I thought he was the perfect
cop.
The perfect cop. I'd never read the source material, just for you guys that are purists. So I have no like qualms with it being like the original, you know, comic books or anything like that. This was clearly just a 90s grab, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it hit the right buttons for us at the time, but it is not a great movie overall.
Mm-mm.
As much as I thought it was, it's a fun movie, and Brandon Lee's performance is fantastic. Mm-hmm. And I'm not just saying that because of the tragedy that befell him. I'm saying because he genuinely was charismatic in the role.
Yeah, it was. You can tell.
I was going to see your little...
My eyeball?
Or she's supposed to put that on the nipple or something?
No, it's on his chest.
I know, I'm just kidding.
It's on his chest.
You know what I'm talking about. In the
and then he had tattoos above his, like, his eyebrows, and I was trying to spell, but I couldn't spell in the mirror, so I just did squiggles.
Yeah, just make anyway. Sure. Anyway, you're going to show off your tattoos, you know, because it makes it more goth. Anyway, but yeah, I don't know. It's still fun. I enjoyed a lot of the moments in it. I like some of the edginess to it. Like, the action is actually, for its time, was actually ahead of its time.
And there was a lot of action in the movie.
Sure. Yeah.
And there's a lot of action in the trailer. So why are people bitching
Dude,
about the action?
Brendan Lee did a lot of wire work and shit
yeah,
in that fucking
in that
movie.
One. Yeah, and it was before The Matrix, too. And it was
right, that's
mean.
What I'm saying. That's yeah. why it's such a pivotal movie in that chain of events, because like we had Blade and all this other stuff that followed its sort of path.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess that's where kind of like action kind of went that way. So I don't mm-hmm. know. You know, I still appreciate some of the moments in the film. I appreciate the songs. It was a very good nostalgia trip. But I was kind of sitting there making fun of it a little bit in the very beginning.
Mm-hmm.
It does kind of fill itself up. It is a little gappy, too.
It is.
You know, like, but, you know, obviously, you know, Brendan Lee passed away in the middle of shooting it.
Mm-hmm.
So the stuff that they had to do to even finish this film is pretty amazing. If
even
you wanna,
though they shouldn't have done
even
it.
Even though you find it distasteful, correct.
Can't lose that money.
But I don't know. I think I'm probably at around a 6.5.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know. It's hard for me to rate this. Like, I feel kind of, it's kind of unfair to go back, you know, and look at this old film, because just because a movie isn't, like, as powerful as it once was. I mean, I guess there's something to say about that, but, like, I think the same way about the Blair Witch Project. I always bring it up.
Right.
because that was a huge movie. It was a huge impact on a lot of people's lives. It's literally a fucking monument in their lives.
But it did not age well.
It did not age well. Wrong. And it's not an easy watch. Some people enjoy it, and that's cool. I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm saying it's just, for me, it just doesn't play the same.
Yeah.
I still enjoyed my watch. It was nice to kind of go down memory lane. We got the box set here and everything with
DVD.
Yeah, we got two other films. We got The City of Angels, which was the second one, and then Crow Salvation, which came after it. And then there was the Edward Furlong one, and I'm here to let you know that that still exists.
Wasn't Rob Zombie supposed to do a Crow sequel? And then
possibly. I remember him talking about
it. It was like 1936 or 2036. It was like a date.
He would be like running people over with a car and dig through the ditches, man, in the back of my Crowula. We give it a 6.25 between the two of us, and that's being fair, I think. If you enjoy the movie, don't take it personally. Like, you know, it's fine. It's still always going to be a 10 out of 10 to you, if that's what it is. But just rewatching it and me being kind of having to be honest, because it's like... You just don't lie in this business, okay? Because it'll catch up with you. So I can't lie.
Right.
You know, it's not for me 100%. I'm still glad I own it. I wouldn't rush out to get the 4K or anything like that. And I am interested in seeing the new one. So
there you go.
Yeah. Yeah. Fucking traitor. Hey, fucking fake fat goth.
Turn in your goth card.
You gothopotamus. Anyway, I can make those jokes, okay, guys? So fuck you.
I'm not making them.
Anyway, so we do have some stuff, some trivia to talk about. I'm not going to get too heavy-handed in it because we got very little time. This one's running over longer than we normally do. We're trying to keep it at around 45 minutes, but I would be fucked if I didn't explain some of the scenes and some of the trivia on this that we're going to go over now. So if you haven't seen this movie, please go ahead, watch it on Paramount Plus. If you're a youngling, a young batling, see where some of us used to hang out in caves, you know what I mean? Upside down. Well, you can rent it on Prime Video or Paramount Plus has it, like I said. Okay. So, but other than that, if you don't want anything spoiled, here's your warning. So I'm pulling up my notes here. Now, so some of you may be wondering, what was the scene where
he got shot?
Brendan Lee got shot.
Yeah.
Brendan Lee got shot in the very opening segment of the movie.
Are you fucking kidding me?
But they don't shoot it in order.
Well, yeah, I know that, but that's crazy.
So apparently that was like one of the middle shots, I guess, or something like that.
Wait, was that the one when they were getting attacked by the hoodlums?
Yes.
Oh, really?
The very opening scene.
Well, I couldn't remember. That's why I was asking.
Yeah, like they bust in, they take his girlfriend and, you know.
Right.
The R word.
Right, we know.
It's not funny, but I'm just
Yeah, like, why are you laughing?
Because it's uncomfortable, I guess. I don't fucking know. Well, because it's funny, you know? Jesus. Anyway, so that happens. I'm laughing at my uncomfortableness.
I know, we know. Right. I'm just trying to make you more uncomfortable.
Anyway, so when they busted in, they shoot him in the doorway.
Oh, okay.
And Michael Massey, he was the fun boy in the movie. He was the guy that shot him when he shot him in the hand, and he's like, ha, 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 ha. The Jesus that he should have played Jesus in a role at least before that. That could have. No, we were making jokes about the holes in the hands because I made a post about something inappropriate. Anyway, not about Brendan Lee, but anyway, he was actually the what happened was. The bullet, there's two different types of charges that you can put in that are non-lethal. And one of those casings or the pieces, the fragments, got caught in the chamber and they're supposed to clean it out after every session. And they didn't. And at the time, they weren't going to shoot Brendan Lee's character, Eric Draven. Mm-hmm. It wasn't in the script. They weren't going to do it. But Alex Proyas wanted to do it. And so they got a weapon out, you know, to do like is procedure. It's not Alex's fault, by the way. I'm not saying it and prefacing it that way, but you know. And then the casing was stuck in the chamber, mm-hmm. just that little piece, a fragment. And then when they do the blanks, because they want them to look like they're actually firing, they have two different versions, like I said, it had enough powder in it to push that fragment into his abdomen. And he went out like that, apparently, and they had to rush him out.
Oh, my God.
Sad thing is that in the movie, they had shot an earlier scene where, you know, he comes into the pawn shop and he busts out the window or whatever, uh-huh. or the glass. It's supposed to be breakaway glass. The 1 out of 99% chance that you could cut yourself on that stuff, because it's technically pretty safe, right. was the one time Brendan Lee did. And one of the guys was like, dude, that's so rare. Like, how did you do that? Uh-huh. And he was like, I don't know. You know, he's like, well, I wouldn't want anything to happen to you. You know, Jesus, I don't want you to be one of these guys that goes on the set from one of
he
these.
Said that to
yes, he did.
Oh, my God.
And then it happened, you know. Shortly
oh
after.
Oh, my God. That's horrible.
Yeah, there's a lot of crazy stuff that is, you know, mm-hmm. I don't know. There's a lot. Apparently, also, the set was chock full of cocaine.
Uh-huh.
And, yeah. So they did a lot of that. Apparently, there's even a time that this is what somebody reported. It said one of the crew members recalls hearing the sound of a sneeze on the set, and one day... and annoyed Brendan Lee, quipping, well, someone just lost $50, you know, like, out their nose. A lot of the scenes, I want to give you a list of the scenes that they had to recreate and do. Essentially, to give you guys an idea, the movie, Paramount was like, fuck this, we don't want the movie anymore. It's dead.
Right.
Some company started up in order to try to fix and like implant him with like doubles and putting his face over top of people. They even had a mask at one point in time that was made in the beginning of the movie before any of this tragedy stuff happened. Mm-hmm. And they did it for the stuntmen just in case they needed to have shots with his face.
Right, right.
And so they tried using those masks in the extra, when they started this movie back up, this mm-hmm. CGI company bought the film for really cheap.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, fixed it, and then they were going to try to use the mask, and people were like, yeah, that's way too creepy. I can't. Because it was a traumatic event. In fact, Massey,
who shouldn't have released the film.
Michael Massey, who fired the weapon into Brandon, didn't act for like over a year.
Right.
After it happened, he was so traumatized. Yeah. So if you can imagine, and Fun Boy has like one of the best deaths in the movie.
Yeah.
Which I love, because mm-hmm. that hand scene is just so...
Oh, yeah, when he shoots him in the hand.
He was like, oh, God! Oh, God! Like, and it's so Joker-esque.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like, what's his name? Got a little inspiration from this, and what was his name we saw the other day?
Oh, I don't know. Oh, but there's one scene in this that is, like, really reminiscent of a scene in The Dark Knight.
That's what I mean.
Yeah, with all the gangsters around the table. And they're having a meeting,
and
the Joker shows up, and the Crow shows up. You know,
that's right.
Yeah, it was very
disappeared.
Yeah, bam.
So there are a lot of people bring up Heath Ledger for this movie for some reason, and I don't know if it's because maybe he used it as some of the inspiration to be kind of weird in the movie. Yeah, like he might have gone through a couple things. There was that other one. Who was that actor or the singer that I showed you on the Australian 70s show or whatever?
I have no idea.
Oh, God. Who was the guy who ate the bugs in Bram Stoker's Dracula?
Gary Oldman?
The guy ate the bugs.
Oh, Tom Waits.
Tom Waits does an interview
in
the
70s
on a Don Lemon or Don something or whatever back in Australia.
Yeah.
And Heath Ledger actually... A lot of people say that he stole that performance. It wasn't even a performance. It was just Tom Waits was fucked up beyond belief.
Dude, and in the voice, he totally nailed that. Their voices are the same.
The way he talks, it's like almost identical. And maybe it's just a coincidence, but If you look it up, look up Don Late Show Australia Tom Waits and you'll find it. Anyway, loosely related to The Crow, just because people bring up
Heath Ledger.
Batman from the original Batman and also the new Heath Ledger.
Yeah, the Tim Burton one. Because this one, it reminds me, like the action in this, in The Crow, reminds me of Batman Returns.
Correct. Yeah, me too.
Yeah, except it's darker in The Crow, you know.
Just because of the running on the rooftops. But that's also like The Matrix as well. Like, yeah. I feel like The Matrix got, because they got the like spotlight
on him.
Yeah, and he was like running from rooftop to rooftop. That's totally The Matrix. You know what I mean? So I didn't even get to mention all the different places. I totally lost my train of thought.
Sidetrack.
Oh, well, here's an interesting bit, at least until I can remember the other parts. Alex Proyas actually originally wanted to shoot the film in black and white.
Oh, that's interesting.
It would have been like the first Sin City.
Yeah.
And they didn't want to do it at the time. They didn't even have the technology to do it that way. So it wouldn't have been like a comic book or anything, but he wanted it to look
like a comic book.
Like a comic book at the time. And so,
isn't that so funny that they didn't have the technology for black and white film in 1990?
Well, no. It's not that. It's just if you look at the Sin City, it's very
it's
painted on. It's like a a process that's done with like a program, so to speak. You know what I mean? That's why I said it that way. But yeah, it would have been like really black and white with like color scenes with like a couple of the moments with it says here, they use color in Draven's flashback scenes. So those would be the most colorful because the color has drained from the world because his wife died or his future wife was going to die. Yeah.
Yeah.
Where she died before they got married. Is what I'm saying.
Oh yeah, they were getting married the next day.
This movie's just tragedy in a nutshell, okay?
It was on Halloween. It's so goth. This is Devil's Night.
I'm trying to think here. So there's a scene about Brennan Lee's death. It's were digitally composed. There was a mask that had, that's the one I was talking about. Yeah. James. Oh, here's a good one that a lot of people, you know, because some people give James O'Barr a lot of shit because one, he didn't like Brennan Lee in the role of the first movie.
Mm-hmm.
But then like when he saw him on set, he was like, okay, all right. Yeah, this is it. And they became really good friends.
Mm-hmm.
So he decided that instead of actually making money off of it, he bought his mother a car and a surround system for himself. And then he donated the rest of the money. He said, I was really good friends with Brandon. So it felt just like blood money to me.
And
this was at a comics convention in 2009. He was like, I didn't want to bring it up. I didn't want to profit at his expense. And I kept the secret for as long as I could. It's not charity if you get credit for it. Right.
Oh yeah.
So that's why he didn't want to tell anybody.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, they sold the movie off for cheap and he probably got paid royalties up front and it probably wasn't all that much money, but it's nice to know that, you know, he actually cared enough. Somebody did, you know?
Yeah, because he still released the film.
And do you know who they were going to put in the role of Eric Draven? You know, who was one of the big men, leading men at the time that they were going to do?
Brad Pitt.
Close.
Tom Cruise.
No.
Who else?
I'm waiting.
Okay, who? I don't know. John who?
Johnny
Knoxville?
Depp.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so I don't think I can see that one either.
He doesn't.
See,
does he do action? Does Johnny Depp even do action?
Of course he has. Like
What?
I don't know. He's done a lot of different movies in the past.
Pirates
of the Caribbean is very physical work.
Oh, I don't
remember. But also, listen to me here. I can't think of him past this movie's time. I can't think of him before this movie's time. So I don't, all I can think of is victims, aren't we all?
He was Edward Scissorhands.
Yeah.
Alex. Right. Edward Scissorhands.
That doesn't mean he's Eric Draven. What is that? Oh, because he's goth? Is that what it is? He's wearing the leather suit, bro. Totally
and
him.
He was in Crybaby.
Right, okay, well.
I'm trying to give you a picture here, yes.
I can see why they thought of him, but I don't see if I can see him in the role.
Do they see, oh, well, they probably just chose Brandon because he was better.
Well, I'm pretty sure Johnny Depp was probably like, I'm glad I didn't. You know? Ugh,
yeah.
He literally dodged a bullet on that one almost. So it's like, it's scary. I know. I'm not trying to be rude either. I'm saying it's the saying, right? You dodged a bullet on that one. So we got some. Well, we'll do our favorite scene in the movie that you like.
Okay, this one might be surprising. My favorite scene. It's a scene that I knew was from this movie, and it always stuck with me for some weird reason. But Sarah and her mom have just this like independent relationship. She doesn't really mother her. And something happens with the mom where she gets involved with one of the bad guys.
Fun boy.
Gets involved with Fun Boy, and she actually witnesses the Crow like coming in and beating the shit out of Fun Boy and all that other shit.
And he drains the snake that like comes out like poison.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
He's like, ugh, that stuff's poison in your veins. Your daughter's out in the streets right now waiting for you to go home.
Right.
And then he throws her aside because she thinks he's going to kill him.
Right. Yeah. And her. So he says that to her, and then she goes home, and it was the next morning, and she's making breakfast for Sarah, and like Sarah's throwing in a fucking attitude. Like,
dude, yeah, she's like, yeah, who's this person? Barbara.
Barbara. You
know, whatever her name is.
But it was, like, and then she's like, oh, screw this. I was never good at this mom thing anyway. And for some reason, that whole scene with the mother-daughter.
It's because, it's, you know what it is? It's because that was the only moment in the movie that you actually care about the little girl.
Yeah.
Not even when she was kidnapped or any of that other stuff.
Nah.
Or when she was dangling from the roof. Like, just fall already. Yeah, I don't know. Just
drop her. She shouldn't even be here. Why is she here?
I don't know if she was in the comic. She's not in the trailer for the new one.
Actually, she wasn't in the comic. She was added to the script.
You know why? It's because they wanted it to be a constant battle of him going back and forth from tragedy to love.
And then she pulls her.
It's that balance. The Crow balance. Ca-caw!
But it's so weird that it's like the neighbor kid. It's just the neighbor kid who has a bad home life. And
well, it can't rain all the time, Christina.
Oh, my God. And something about the film too I didn't understand is like she's narrating it in the beginning, and then
she narrates it at the end too.
Yeah, and then at the I didn't like that because I felt like that them starting it out like that way. I mean, people are going to think it's from like her perspective, and it's not at all. You know what I mean? So I just thought it was silly.
It's sad to watch the movie in a way. So like, you know what I mean? Like it just
it really is
like a Heath Ledger moment. Yeah. And I think that's why people compare it because, you know, obviously they both got cut short, you know, and both of them were heading in directions that would have been very similar in a lot of ways.
Right.
And their last performances are very much clowns. So, I mean, makes sense. But yeah, I don't know. I think my favorite scene is definitely the Fun Boy scene and the girl because it's the more impactful moments. I didn't really like their moments between him and the villain. I thought they were kind of
It was just like shoot him up, like they weren't really fighting or anything like that.
Yeah, it was like dick waving. Like the one guy is just, I don't know, he was just too much. He was just a try-hard villain for me. I mean, he did a great performance. I just, I don't know, it was a little too much. It was a little too much for me. Right. So I'm kind of curious what the other movies are like, if we would like them.
I swear I've seen him, but I don't even remember. So
I remember something in like a sewer, like in LA, where they were driving their cars through the sewer or something.
And Kristen Dunst is in one of those.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that last one she was in.
I think he hangs upside down and gives her a kiss.
Yeah, it's that one.
he's a crow, you know? He can fly, you know? Like
he can fly.
Yeah. Maybe he does a or like a dive with her and he's like carrying her.
He's like, ca-ca in her mouth.
All right. Out of control. Anyway, we kind of carried this one on long, guys. I don't want to go too far, but we'll get used to like how much time we have with these. I don't want to go past an hour with these, so that way you guys can have enough but not too much, you know what I mean? So because oftentimes when you post a fucking video that's a podcast about a movie and it's an hour and a half long, all you get is a bunch of shitbags writing on your fucking thing. This isn't the movie. It's like, well, go rent it, you pick a fucking. Why are you going to go on YouTube anyway?
You cheap son of a bitch.
Yeah. Like, don't you have a VPN? Anyway. But yeah, I hope we're not disrespectful in any way. I just want to clarify, you know, we're not being trying to be disrespectful to any of the situation. It's just a very weird subject to kind of dance around, I guess. Mm-hmm. And you know, it's no disrespect that we didn't like the movie as much as everybody else. So 6.25 is really not a bad score anyway, but it's just more of the disappointment factor of rewatching it.
Yeah. It was literally 30 years ago this year, 30 years ago.
Yeah. That's wild.
The remake's coming out on the 30th anniversary.
Do we know what we're going to watch next week?
No, we do not.
We'll have to get into that too, so that next time. Yeah, we basically are going to call it quits for now. We'll figure it out. If you haven't signed up for the VIP club, please do. Like I said, we're going to pick some sort of giveaway of some sort, whether it's us or through MVD, but MVD is definitely going to be doing one with us because I already talked to them. So thank you, MVD Entertainment, for that. But yeah, other than that, we'll let you know in the social medias when we have something coming up. Keep your eye out on the YouTube. If you're not following the YouTube, please do. If you're on YouTube and you don't follow the podcast, we need your help there too. So if you get the podcast, go on iTunes or whatever, give us a fucking rating. Let us know what you think. We'd greatly appreciate that. But yeah, other than that, thank you guys so much for coming by. And as always,
long live the void.
Ha ha ha.